So we'll do several demonstrations, but the first demonstration is related to our lecture on streaming. We'll give an example of streaming video and see how different network characteristics will impact upon the quality. Our issue with both audio and video is that we want to have good quality at the receiver, and that's impacted upon by the network characteristics, because we need to, with a particular codec, we take our original video, convert it into packets, and transmit them. What we require to get good quality at the receiver is that those packets are received with small delay, with small jitter, and a small number of errors. Some errors can be tolerated, but too many errors, and the quality at the receiver will start to go down. So let's see if we can stream. We'll use other people's computer at the moment, but first I'll use my computer. Stream a video from one computer to another and see how it works. So what I'm going to demonstrate is using my laptop as a client and my office computer as a server. So back in the other building. And of course they are connected via a network, which is something like an Ethernet LAN to a switch, and maybe even another switch and a router. And eventually there's an access point which my laptop here is connected to. Now, what exactly is here may not look like this, but some network between the computer in my office and the access point out in the corridor which my laptop is connected to. What I'm going to do is stream from the office computer to the laptop, a video. So we have a server running on the office computer, which will be, in this case, a video streaming server, and a simple media player, the client, running on the laptop. And what's going to happen is that there's a video on the office computer. If I can remember, I'll try video 3. It's an MPEG, I think. MPEG 2 uses MPEG 2 codec to take the original video and save it and this file, so it's compressed and so on. So that's on the office computer. What the video streaming server does, so normally when you have a video, you use a media player to play that video. For example, if that MPEG file was on my laptop, I would open my media player and it would display on the screen the video. It would do the decoding, because remember, and the uncompressing. Remember, MPEG is a format where the video is encoded into some format and also compressed. So your media player decodes, decompresses, and displays on your screen the video and audio. What we want to do, though, is we've got the file here. The streaming server will send that file as multiple packets to my client, and the client will then play it on the screen. So this is an example of streaming. Let's see if it works. So, what I have is the program that we're going to use is called VLC, or Video LAN. And it's just it's a video media player, it's a client, but it's also a streaming server, so it can act as both. The most common use of this software Well, a use of this software is simply to play videos on your own computer. But it also has a mode where we can stream to another instance of that software. And that's what we're going to use today. I have it installed, so I don't need to install it. I have it installed on both computers. So although it may not be easy to see, the black one up the top represents the command line on my laptop. These two are the command line on my office computer. So I'm going to run some commands on my office computer to start the server. That's the objective first. And VLC has a graphical user interface, but it also has a command line mode which we'll use initially. You don't need to remember these commands right now, just a demonstration. So on the client, I need to start VLC, the client. And basically, I'm going to tell my client to listen on my local IP address. So the IP address of my laptop is 10.10.3.72 and on port 1234. VLC is the program, and it's going to listen for UDP packets. And it will do nothing when I start it, apart from open up the graphical user interface, I hope. Okay, so it's just waiting. There's nothing being played because it will only play back when the server starts sending packets. So now what we need to do is start the server, and it will take the video file and send the content as a set of UDP packets across the network to the client, and then the client, as it receives them, will display the video. So on the server computer, I've done it before so I can remember, it's a long, almost a cryptic command, but what it's saying, you don't have to know all of it. Let's get this correct. What it's saying is start VLC, the VLC in command line mode. That's all the C VLC means. This is nothing important, just display many messages. This is the file that we're going to send. It's in my directory here. And this long string gives us some information of how to send it. You can send in different formats. This is going to use UDP, so that's the transport protocol, and the destination. Content is encoded, and the destination is the IP address of my client, my laptop, 10.10.3.72, and port 1234. So my client is expected to receive there. We're going to send to the destination there. If we can see our video. Is there any audio? We'll try again. No, no audio with this. I have audio. The audio is not important. So it's just playing the video. Don't worry about what video is, just some free video I downloaded before. So what's happening, this is the server is decoding the video, creating individual UDP packets and sending them. As I receive them, my client plays them back. And it's playing back okay. The quality is okay, there's nothing wrong with that. It's MPEG-2 encoded. We don't expect high quality, high definition. It's only a short video. It's finished now. Now let's try and see what happens when the network characteristics change. So that was the case sending across our SIT LAN as well as the wireless LAN. So probably the maximum throughput was limited by the wireless LAN, which may be in a matter of 10 megabits per second. No problems. Small delay across SIoT network. Let's close that and try it again. But this time I'll add some arbitrary delay to the server. This is using the TC command. What I'm going to do, and this is one thing that you'll use in your assignment, is this program TC. So this is running on the server here. What TC does is it controls the transmission of packets out of your computer. So my video streaming server is an application. Maybe we'll draw it in some depth here. So we have the VLC application running on the office computer. Then we have the operating system. So this is the office computer. The application generates data that it needs to send, sends it to the operating system, and this does all the protocol processing, UDP, IP, and when the packets are generated to be sent to the laptop, the kernel, the operating system kernel, puts them into some transmit queue. This is my physical cable coming out of my computer. The kernel puts the packets into a queue. The normal mode is to do a first-in, first-out queue. We generate packets, they go in, and as soon as they can, they're transmitted out. What TC does is controls the packets inside this queue. One thing we'll do, and what we'll do here, is that we use TC. This refers to a queuing discipline. We're going to add to my device ETH0, which refers to this LAN card on my server. NetM is the special filter that's used for emulating different networks. And it allows us to add a delay, and this is 100 milliseconds. And a variance of 10 milliseconds. Let's actually change that. It's reduced the variance to 1 millisecond, which means normally the packets go into my queue and transmit it immediately, especially when there's no other packets. It's on my office computer, there's only VLC running. There's nothing else trying to transmit. So most likely all the packets coming into the queue are from the VLC program, the video being sent, and as soon as they get in, they're transmitted. The transmission rate here is 100 megabits per second. That's my Ethernet link out. The rate at which VLC generates packets is probably much less than 100 megabits per second. It depends upon the encoding rate of our video. We'll check that later when we look at some statistics, but that's probably around hundreds of kilobits per second. So much less than our 100 megabits per second output. So normally the packets come in and are sent out. What this will do is, as a packet comes in, it is delayed by 100 milliseconds before it's sent out. That's all. Every packet that comes into our queue, SIT must wait for 100 milliseconds. And then the operating system will send it out. As a result, it's as if there's an extra 100 milliseconds delay between my office computer and my laptop. Maybe we can test that. First, let's ping. I'm on my office computer. We'll ping my laptop, which was 10.10.3.72. That's the delay normally, around 2 milliseconds. That's the round-trip time delay, 2 milliseconds. So one-way delay from here to here is about 1 millisecond. By using this TC command, we're going to add another 100 milliseconds to that by introducing a delay in my server, in my office computer. So we add that extra delay. Let's see if it's worked. Okay, so now my ping. You see the delay, the round trip time is 103 milliseconds going up. There may be other delay if other people are transmitting in this wireless network. But we can see now it's this 100, actually one in here, the extra 100 milliseconds in the queue plus the normal delay. So that's how we add this extra delay. So it's now 100 plus 1. It's about 101 milliseconds. Let's see how that impacts on our video when we stream it. So that delay exists. What we'll do is start our client again. Start our server, streaming server, same approach, and see if the quality of the video changes. If you may have missed it a little bit there, there's a little bit of a problem at the start. How's the quality? The visual quality looks okay. There's no stopping or freezing. There's no effects on any of the pixels that you can notice anyway. So the quality is not much different there. Let's try it again. One more time and see if we notice anything at the start that differs. I haven't changed anything yet. Let's just make some space. So again, I'm running VLC on the laptop and now running it on the server. Still that 100 millisecond delay. Just watch at the start. At the start, there's a little bit of change in the effect of the video quality. This almost freezes in the first 1 second. Most likely due to this extra delay in that there's some buffering that needs to happen. What happens is that when you start playing on the server, it starts sending packets to the laptop. That extra delay means that before it can be played smoothly on the laptop, we need to receive a reasonable set of packets. We need to receive more than one packet. So there may be some buffering that occurs that we receive maybe 10 or 50 packets, and then we start the playback. Until we receive the first set of packets, the playback is not smooth. And that probably takes less than a second to do. But once we start receiving packets at a regular rate, then the playback is smooth. So the delay doesn't have much impact in this case. This is a streaming one-way application. It's not conversational or interactive. A large delay is not so much an issue. Let's try again. Now, with TC, to delete, and don't forget to delete if you use it, because otherwise that delay will be on all your packets you send. Delete. Let's add. With a larger jitter. Let's try 10 milliseconds. So, same delay. This second number here indicates the jitter, the variance of the delay. So in the first case, we had 100 milliseconds was the delay. The jitter was 1 millisecond, which meant that, in fact, the delay wasn't exactly 100 milliseconds. It was 100 plus or minus 1. So in the first case, maybe the delay would have been, for the first packet, it may have been 99 milliseconds, then 100, 99, 101. That's the extra delay that the kernel adds to each packet. On average, for all packets, the delay is 100 plus or minus that 1 millisecond in the first instance. Now what we're doing is having a 100 millisecond delay plus or minus 10. So maybe the first packet will be 95, the second one may be 103, it's random. It chooses a random difference within this range of plus or minus 10. And the average will be 100 still, but plus or minus 10 milliseconds. It will range between 90 and 110. So this is jitter. The variance between the delay of packets is increased in this case. Let's see if that affects our video. So we'll add that. Start our client. And start our video and see if we notice any difference in the video. A little bit at the start. Still okay. Let's see if we can introduce more. Okay, there is a little bit of an artifact. Let's try again with a larger jitter. That was with 10 milliseconds. Let's delete that one. Let's try 30 milliseconds. So now we can see the quality is reduced almost all through the video. So this, the only difference now is that the jitter, it's plus or minus 30 milliseconds. And that's affecting our quality. So we can see that the increase in jitter has a significant impact on the quality of video. The same can be applied for streaming audio. And in fact, the same applies for conversational audio and video. So jitter is a significant concern for multimedia applications. In fact, that's unviewable now. The software would be trying to cope with that jitter, but even in this case, it's too much to deal with. We'll see how it can try to deal with jitter shortly. Okay, so no good in that case. Last attempt is let's look at packet loss. So the packets were being delivered in those tests, except they were being delayed and the delay was varying over time. Let's consider now what happens when we send our packets, no extra delay, the delay is normal, 1 millisecond, but some of the packets don't arrive. Remember, with video, we can cope with some packet loss. I'm not sure if we can cope with 1%. Let's try. So what we'll do is add. And we specify loss. I'm not sure if there's a minimum. Let's try 0.1%. That is 1 in 1,000 packets, on average, are lost. So what happens now? VLC generates packets, or generates data, and packets come out. Normally they go into the queue, and they're transmitted. And with our network, which is an Ethernet and a wireless LAN with not many users, most likely there's very little packet loss normally. Most likely all packets get delivered. Now we're introducing some extra packet loss in the queue. A packet comes in, TC looks at those packets and randomly chooses one to drop, to throw away, such that out of a about every 1,000 packets that come in this case, one of them will be dropped. That is, it's not going to get to the destination. So 0.1%, that is. Start our client. Start our server. Start streaming. Quality, okay in this case. So 1 in 1,000 packets are being lost. In fact, there may not be that many packets. There may be only several thousand packets transmitted in this short time. So there may not be many packets lost. Even if there is a packet lost, you probably will not notice it. What it would mean is that for a single frame in our video, and there are probably 25 frames per second, for one of them, some of the pixels may not be displayed correctly. All right, now we've had something happen there. So not a problem in that case. Let's drop some more. Let's make it 1%, 1 in 100. What have I done? Okay, let's do less. 0.5%. Add. So now 5 in 100? No, 5 in 1,000. 0.5%. Okay. Again, not bad. No problems yet. Some small problem there. Let's try again with more packets lost. Stop our server. Try 1%. There's maybe a few more artifacts we see from the video quality, but most of the time it's okay. There you could see some problems. You can see a little bit more often that the video quality is not good in this case. But still, we're losing 1% of our packets, but the video is still viewable at least. It's not 100%. Now, with some high motion perhaps there, the quality went down. So losing packets, you start to see the impact. One more case, let's see if we can cause it to stop. Let's see what 5% does. Still, some packets are being received, okay. Maybe a little bit worse now. So, by increasing the percentage or the number of packets lost, we're going to reduce the quality at the receiver. video and also audio applications can cope with some packet loss. Because the bits that are lost only have a very small impact on what the user sees or what they hear. And we can usually, our brains can usually make up for that. Even, or we don't notice that impact, that is only some pixels are changed, or the audio is very hard to notice. So some packet loss is tolerable. One more, and then we'll finish. What do we have? Five. Fifteen 15% packet loss. So this is almost unviewable. Now, we don't have audio as well. If you had audio, you would also hear the artifacts. You would hear the problems in the audio as well. Okay, so that's two things. That's illustrating the impact of the network characteristics on video applications, the quality especially, and also demonstrating how TC can be used. So you will use TC in your assignment. You need to consider not the delivery of video, but the performance of TCP. In our previous topic, we looked at TCP, and we know that it has congestion control that controls the sending rate depending on packet losses. If you increase the number of packet losses, you'll see some performance degradation in TCP. Similarly here, we see a quality degradation in video when we increase the packet loss. Any questions on that, on the video aspect of it? So that was one example. You think used MPEG-2, that the format of that video, we can check, used MPEG-2. I actually have the same video on the laptop. So that's the video being played directly on the laptop, and some statistics. This gives some details of the codec. It's the MPEG codec, video codec. The audio is MPEG audio. The sampling rate for the audio is 32 kilohertz, bit rate of 64 kilobits per second. Frame rate 25 per second for the video. Resolution is 320 by 240 pixels. So that gives some information about the codec for that particular video. Not sure. Statistics gives us some information about the data rate. We can see the numbers coming in of 360, 370 kilobits per second. So we can think that that's what's being sent across our network to deliver this video. We've got data coming in at around 360 kilobits per second. It also had statistics about packets being, actually in that case, no packets were being sent because it was local. So depending upon the codec, whether it's MPEG, and different versions of MPEG or different codecs, it will require a different bit rate. The bit rate changes because with video especially, the amount of compression that's needed and the way that they encode changes depending upon the scene in the video. High motion requires a higher bit rate to send. Low motion means you can compress more and uses a lower bit rate. So video bit rate is often variable. It goes up and down. We can think that's the amount that would have to be sent across our network. close that. Any questions on that aspect, the video performance? You could have similar illustrations with audio as well, or voice. Remember, this is for streaming. If we had conversational video or voice, the delay that we introduced, this 100 milliseconds, would have much more of an impact. In our case, it didn't have much of an impact. The jitter did, the delay did not. But with conversational two-way, it will have an impact. Before we move on with the rest of the lecture and the next section, what about the assignment? Are there any questions? That's illustrator TC. What other parts may be causing problems? There have been several questions to me via directly or via the email list. TC, you need to know how to use, and I've given you just I've given you links to websites that just explain those commands for TC, so you can almost directly copy them, and you just need to change the values of loss and of delay. I recently sent to the email list a way to change the data rate. And what the data rate does is similar. Normally, your packets will be transmitted out the queue as fast as possible. As fast as possible is 100 megabits per second. Packets come into the queue and are transmitted at 100 megabits per second out. With TC, we can control the rate at which they're sent out. So what happens is if we set the rate to 1 megabit per second, packets come in at whatever rate the application generates them, but TC will control how fast they're sent out to be no more than 1 megabit per second. So you can add a rule or a filter with TC that will limit the data rate. In that way, you can simulate any type of network. You can simulate a network which has a variable delay or a different delay. You can set the delay of that network. You can simulate a network which has different jitter, packet loss, as well as data rate. That is capacity from here to here. Even though you connect your two laptops together via a 100 megabit per second link, you can set that rate to be 500 kilobits per second, 50 megabits per second, or whatever you choose. So in that way, you can see how those network characteristics impact upon TCP performance. And for that, you use IPERF. Any specific questions about the assignment before we move on? I can't remember all the questions I've had recently. Some people have started. Have you got a group? Who's in your group? Have you started? Someone started? Yep. Problems? Window size. That refers to IPERF. You test the performance of TCP using IPERF. So again, you run it as a server. Sorry. Oh, yeah. This is the server, IPERF. I need to specify a port. And run it as a client. If I can remember the port number, we'll be okay. That'd be 4. So just normally using TCP. The reason I used a port number is because in my office computer there's a network address translator that and a firewall that only allows certain port numbers in. I've only allowed this specific port number. So it did a test and found that the bandwidth, so that was sending from my laptop to my office throughput or bandwidth, where are we? This is the server report. 6.3 megabits per second. Yeah, this is the server, this is the client, reports the bandwidth of 6.3 megabits per second with TCP. What you need to do is do similar measurements but vary those characteristics of packet loss, delay, data rate. The question was about window size. With iPerf, you can set many different parameters or several parameters of TCP. Some of those parameters are not obvious as to what they mean. Let's have a look at some. Some of the parameters that you may use, the length, minus L option, set the read-write buffer to N. We'll explain that in a moment. What else? Length. Port, maybe, you don't need it. And window, TCP window size, socket buffer size. And I think they're the two main parameters regarding the TCP performance that are going to impact that you're going to change. Let's explain what they mean. So now what we have is our application is iPerf, which generates data, random data, and tries to send it as fast as possible to the server. So we have iPerf, TCP, IP, and let's send it in this direction, some queue. And you'll use TC to modify the operation of that queue. They send them out to your receiving computer. They're received and sent up TCP and the iPerf server. This is the client and that's the server. So what happens normally is that this just generates random data, sends it to TCP as fast as possible. TCP will follow its rules. It has rules for flow control, rules for congestion control, and retransmission schemes. Generates TCP segments, sends them to IP. They'll be sent into the queue as IP datagrams. TC may control how fast they go out of the queue, or how many go out of the queue if you have packet loss. They go across your link. They are received and should be immediately passed up to IP, to TCP, if everything's okay. And then iPerf server receives those packets and counts them. And at the end of the 10 seconds, it reports back saying, over that 10 seconds, I received 6.3 megabits per second on average. We care about the average bandwidth or throughput, and we care about how different parameters will modify that bandwidth. Two parameters we have with iPerf are the minus L and the minus W, the window size. From memory, the W is for the window size for flow control. So at the server, we can set the window size, which is the initial value that the receiver tells the client as to how much it's allowed to send at once. such that it doesn't overflow the receiver. Remember, with flow control, what we do is we tell the sender how much you're allowed to send so that you do not overflow the receiver. And that's done with a window, and the minus W option sets the maximum size. Let's see where that's reported. When I did my test before, this is on the server. It reports by default a TCP window size of 85 kilobytes. So that's the default value used. You can try the minus W option to change that value. It will only let you use certain values. I think they're usually in power of 2. But you can, on the server, use the minus W option, minus W and some value, and that should change this value, and see how that impacts upon the performance. So run your test again and see what bandwidth you get. And as a result, you may get some plot of window versus the bandwidth or throughput. I prefer to call it throughput. IPERF calls it bandwidth. Same thing. And you'll get some plot, perhaps. Whatever it looks like is what you're going to learn from your tests. You may see it's like this. You may see it's like this. I'm not sure. So that's what you need to see from your experiments. If it turns out it's like this, then it means that changing the window has very little impact upon the performance in this setup. So that's one aspect. That's the window for flow control. We send some packets. Back an axe saying you have a window, an advertised window of x bytes. The maximum value of x is what we specify. That may impact on performance. The other option was the minus L option, the length. That is the length of, now let's see an explanation. It's the related to the data being sent from your application to TCP. Your application generates data here, IPERF, it's just generating random data to send. It sends it to TCP. There's a buffer there. Sends it to TCP, TCP takes it out of the buffer, follows its rules and tries to send it. Similar when we receive, there's a buffer that delivers the application here. The length sets the length of what we write into that buffer. Default is 8 kilobytes. See what happens when you change that parameter. You may want to try it at both the server and the client. In some tests, you'll see that there's no impact upon performance. They're not so interesting parameters. But if you start to see parameters that mean the result in the throughput changing, then that's what's of interest. And you need to explore that parameter more. Any other parameters for IPERF that people have questions on? That's two that you should try. What else do we say in the assignment? One other point was that in my demonstration we used TC to drop packets. That's okay, but there may be a problem in our setup. With TCP, with our video it was okay, because with our video what we're trying to do is just see what is the impact of drop packets. The problem with using TC to drop packets, what happens, there are many packets in the queue. TC decides to drop one of them. It randomly chooses a packet to drop. This one, for example. It's deleted from the queue. This is all running in the kernel of the operating system. So this is all part of the operating system. When that packet is dropped, depending on your operating system, what may happen is that TCP is informed. A packet was dropped inside this computer. TCP may not treat that as congestion. What we said in our lecture is that when we have a packet drop, TCP assumes that's due to congestion in the internet. For example, a router dropped it. But in this case, TCP, some implementations of TCP are smarter than that. If a packet drop occurs inside your computer, that's probably not due to congestion out on a router. That's due to some problem in your computer. Do not treat that as congestion. And therefore, TCP may not slow down. What we want is that if we had a router here, we'd like to emulate if a packet drops here. And therefore, the packet wouldn't get to the destination, ACK wouldn't come back, and TCP would cut down its sending rate. To emulate that, the suggested way is to drop packets at the receiver. Don't use TCP for packet loss. Use something else. And the suggestion is to use IP tables at the receiver. As a packet comes in, IP tables randomly chooses one of those packets to drop. So it doesn't get to TCP here. Therefore, no ACK comes back. Therefore, TCP assumes congestion and slows down. So the outcome there is what you should do if you want to emulate packet loss and packet loss only. Don't use TCP at the source. Use IP tables at the receiver. That's the important point there. For the other characteristics of packet delay and the data rate, you can use TC at the source. Packet delay, TCP doesn't know anything about that. Same with the data rate. TCP will not know anything about that. It's just the packet loss that causes it. It's only because we're doing an experiment connecting one computer direct to another without any routers. A better experiment would be one computer, one router, one destination, and run TC on that router. That would be a better experiment, but there's no need to do that. The exact format of using IP tables is given on the website. I think you need to get started on that assignment and see how you go. Let's go back to our lecture. I have one last example. So, we know that delay and jitter impact upon multimedia applications, especially jitter. That's important. Let's see how that impacts and also how we can try to alleviate that impact. Here's an example trying to illustrate individual packets. Imagine again we've got our source, my computer, sending packets representing video or audio to the destination, my client, my laptop. What this diagram is showing, this is the source computer. This is the destination computer, this rectangle here, and this is packets going across the network. And at the source, what we do is we generate and send packets at a regular interval, a regular rate. So the source was taking the video and creating UDP packets to send across the network. And it's creating them every X seconds and sending them every X seconds. In our example, it's every 40, let's say, milliseconds. Sends the first packet at time zero. 40 milliseconds later, it sends the second packet. That doesn't add up. That should be 80. I knew there was an error somewhere, but I didn't know where. 0, 40, 80, 120. that may impact... No, these numbers are okay, it's just these two. So every 40 milliseconds we send a packet. Why? Because think of that, those packets containing one or multiple frames from the video. Remember, the video is a frame every X seconds, 25 frames per second. What have we got? Every 40 milliseconds we send one, or we generate one frame of video. So imagine each packet contains one frame. Therefore, in a total of 1 second, we should have 25 frames. Now, when I'm saying frames here, this is video frames, not packets, not anything to do with networks, video frames, just a still image. If we've got a frame rate of 25 frames per second, then in 1 second we'd have 25 frames, but at an interval of every 40 milliseconds. Send one, 40 milliseconds later, another, another, and another. So this is the sender, and there'll be more. In this case, our network has a delay of 50 milliseconds and no jitter. Every packet has a delay of 50 milliseconds. It doesn't change. As a result, we send the first packet at time zero. It takes 50 to get there. We receive at time 50. We send the first packet, the second packet at time 40. Takes 50 to arrive. It's received at time 90. This should be 80 plus 50, 130. So there is a problem here. This should be 130. I think I've missed a packet. And this should be 120 plus 50, 170. So that's the operation when we have a delay. Now, from the receiver's perspective, what happens? We receive a packet. Our objective is to display one frame every 40 milliseconds, one frame of video. Because if we do that, we'll get 25 frames per second. If these packets are received without errors, we'll play back the video 25 frames per second. And everything will look smooth. Now, there's some delay from when we send the first packet until when we start playing back the video at the receiver. That is, when we press the send button or start button at the server, there's a 50 millisecond delay before the first frame of video is displayed on the client. That's not a big problem. That delay can be tolerated. On the receiver that's playing back the video, we display the first frame on the screen. 40 milliseconds later, we expect to display the second frame. With a frame rate of 25 per second, it should be 40 milliseconds between frames. We receive the frame at 90 and display it on the screen. So that's okay, because there's a difference of 40 milliseconds. Again, this should be, what have we got? We missed 180, 130, and this should be 170. 40 milliseconds later, we receive the third frame, display it on the screen. The fourth frame, display it on the screen. If we keep going like this, with a constant delay of 50 milliseconds, then at the receiver, we'll always receive a frame every 40 milliseconds. We'll play back that frame, show it on the screen. As a result, we're displaying frames 25 per second on the receiver. And that looks like a smooth video playback. To get smooth playback, we need to display at 25 frames per second. If we displayed at 10 frames per second, it would look like a slow motion video. If we displayed at 60 frames per second, it would look like in fast forward. We need to play back at the same frame rate that the source is sending at or generating content. So, in this case, where we have just delay, no jitter, the playback will be smooth. We receive a packet every 40 milliseconds, we display a frame every 40 milliseconds. There's a 50 millisecond delay from when the source starts until when the receiver displays the content. That's not bad. that's just a small delay from when you start the video. So with no jitter, the playback should be smooth. Now let's see what happens when we do have jitter. Jitter now will just mean random variations in the packet delay. Here we have a jitter of plus or minus 10, which means the delay will change. And I've just chosen some random variations. So again, the source generates 25 frames per second, and in this example is sending 25 packets per second. That is one packet every 40 milliseconds. So it should be 0, 40, 80. Same error here. 120, 160, and so on. That's the source. Each packet containing a frame of video has some delay. I've said the first packet has a delay of 50. The second packet, a delay of 40. Because there's some jitter, it's some varying delay. 60 and 50. So, when are these packets received? The first packet is received at time 50. Sent at 0 plus 50, received at time 50. So that's, imagine at the receiver, that's displayed on the screen. The next packet, we'd expect to display at time 90. To play back 25 frames per second, it should be every 40 milliseconds. But we receive it earlier. Two options here. Display it immediately or delay that a little bit. We could display it, and that would be as if that the scene has sped up a little bit of fast forward because a frame is played back before it's expected. The third packet, this should be 80 plus 60, 140. First one at 50, we expect the second one at 90. And the third one should be at 130. We receive the third frame at time 140. This should be 80 plus 60, 140. So we expect to play back the third frame at time 130, but we only receive it at time 140. So it's delayed slightly from when we expect to play it back. So that's like that. The frame is not shown when it should be. There's a small delay there. Things slow down in the video output. And similar, we have a very small delay between this frame and the next one being displayed. As a result, with this jitter, the frames being played back at the receiver are sometimes being played too fast and sometimes too slow. And that's what we get, this unsmooth playback at the receiver. It stops and starts again, stops and starts. And that's what is a poor result in the quality of the video, due to the jitter. So the result in this case, there was still a 50 millisecond delay between the start at the sender and the start at the receiver. So I press send on my office computer. It takes 50 milliseconds before the first picture of the video is displayed on my laptop. But even worse, those pictures, those frames being displayed on my laptop are sometimes being displayed too early, too quickly, or sometimes being displayed too late. As a result, the motion looks to be varying over time. You get this unsmooth playback. So that's the impact of jitter. How do we solve it? Or how can we improve upon that? We can introduce a buffer at the receiver. This is our last slide for the day. Again, 0, 40, 80, 120. Jitter in the network, same as previous slide. What happens now at the receiver? We receive the first frame. We do not display it on the screen. We store it in memory in a buffer. In this case, we're going to buffer it for 20 milliseconds. The reason for 20 we'll see shortly. That is, we receive it at 50, save it in memory, and then display it on the screen at time 70. We receive the second frame at time 80, buffer, and display that at time 110. Third one's received at 180, we buffer for a short time and display at 190. 210, display at 230. So this is when the frames are received. This is when they're displayed on the screen. The playback, the frames are played back every 40 milliseconds. 70, 110, again, these numbers are wrong. 150, 190. By introducing this small buffer, we get smooth playback of the frames at the receiver. So that's good. Even with some jitter, we can still get smooth playback. The negative of this approach is that from when I press start at the sender until the first frame is displayed at the receiver is increased a little bit by extra 20 milliseconds in this case. The reason I chose 20 here is because I could guess, or I knew in advance, what delay was going to be occurs from the different jitters. Knowing what value to buffer for is not easy. And just calculating what the jitter would be in advance is not easy, but you can make some accurate estimates. So, the point is, with video and also audio playback, especially streaming, by introducing a buffer at the receiver, we can cope with the effects of jitter so that we still get smooth playback. But if the jitter is too large, here it was only plus or minus 10. If it was plus or minus 30, still with this buffer, it may not work. We still get this unsmooth playback. The problem with the buffer, extra delay. And this is what you see when you, well, it's not bad today. If you start a YouTube video, you press play. And from the time you press play, now what happens is the server starts sending you video packets. So on your web browser, you press play on the video, sends a request to the server, the YouTube server, starts generating video packets to send to you. It's sending them, you start to receive them, but the video is not played back yet. It buffers some of those packets so that then starts playing back, such that if there is some variance in the delay across the network, you'll still look like you've got smooth playback. If the variance is too large, then it will stop and start buffering again, and then play back again. So that's an example where the buffer is used to cope with the variance of the delay. I said it was the last slide, but we've got one more to summarise. Playback buffers are the main way to deal with jitter. Jitter is unavoidable in networks, so what we do is introduce playback buffers inside the receivers. We need some mechanisms for that to work, sequence numbers, so that we know that this is packet 1, 2, 3, and 4. The receiver buffers packets until they're ready to be played. How long do you delay before starting the playback? That is, how large should the buffer be? It depends upon different applications. With audio and video streaming, several seconds is okay. You press play on your YouTube video, you're prepared to wait several seconds. If nothing starts playing, then you may give up. If it takes 1 minute, then probably you would not wait for it. You're prepared to wait several seconds for streaming in that case. Once it starts playing, you'd like to get smooth playback. But if you have live audio and video, maybe 1 or 3 seconds would be acceptable. Live is when the content is generated, like a live sports event. You don't want it to be delayed by 1 minute. That is, it happens in the other side of the world, 1 minute later you see it happen. It's not live then. You may be listening on the radio and you'll hear the score before the event is shown on the video. Interactive applications, we're talking with someone, voice or video, you need it to be very small. Hundreds of milliseconds are maybe acceptable. So that's illustrating the impact of jitter on video applications and also audio applications. We'll finish there and continue on with the next part next week, and also do some different calculations to show the impact of headers and different overheads on the performance. If you have problems with the assignment, again, send me an email. I may respond or give some hints, or come and see me. Otherwise, I'll talk to you next week.